He who knows cannot but know, and he who does not know cannot know.
Of course.
What shall we say then? When a man has a false opinion, does he think that which he knows to be some other thing which he knows? And knowing both, is he at the same time ignorant of both?
That, Socrates, is impossible.
But perhaps he thinks of something which he does not know as some other thing which he does not know. For example, he knows neither Theaetetus nor Socrates, and yet he fancies that Theaetetus is Socrates, or Socrates Theaetetus.
How can he?
But surely he cannot suppose what he knows to be what he does not know, or what he does not know to be what he knows.
That would be monstrous.
Well, then, is false opinion? For if all things are either known or unknown, there can be no opinion which is not comprehended under this alternative, and so false opinion is excluded.
Most true.
Suppose that we remove the question out of the sphere of knowing or not knowing, into that of being and not being.
What do you mean?
May we not suspect the simple truth to be, that he who thinks about anything, that which is not, will necessarily think what is false, whatever in other respects may be the state of his mind?
That, again, is not unlikely, Socrates.
Then suppose someone to say to us, Theaetetus, is it possible for any man to think that which is not, either as a self-existent substance, or as a predicate of something else? And suppose that we answer, yes, he can, when he thinks what is not true, that will be our answer.
Yes.
But is there any parallel to this?
What do you mean?
Can a man see something, and yet see nothing?
Impossible.
But if he sees any one thing, he sees something that exists. Do you suppose that what is one is ever to be found among non-existing things?
I do not.
He then who sees some one thing, sees something which is.
Clearly.
And he who hears anything, hears some one thing, and hears that which is.
Yes.
And he who touches anything, touches something which is one and therefore is.
That again is true.
And does not he who thinks, think some one thing?
Certainly.
And does not he who thinks some one thing, think something which is?
I agree.
Then he who thinks of that which is not, thinks of nothing.
Clearly.
And he who thinks of nothing, does not think at all.
Obviously.
Then no one can think that which is not, either as a self-existent substance, or as a predicate of something else.
Clearly not.
Then to think falsely is different from thinking that which is not.
It would seem so.
Then false opinion has no existence in us, either in the sphere of being or of knowledge.
Certainly not.
But may not the following be the description of what we express by this name?
What?
May we not suppose that false opinion or thought is a sort of heterodoxy? A person may make an exchange in his mind, and say that one real object is another real object, for thus he always thinks that which is, but he puts one thing in place of another, and missing the aim of his thoughts, he may be truly said to have false opinion.
Now you appear to me to have spoken the exact truth. When a man puts the base in the place of the noble, or the noble in the place of the base, then he has truly false opinion.
I see, Theaetetus, that your fear has disappeared, and that you are beginning to despise me.
What makes you say so?
You think, if I am not mistaken, that your truly false is safe from censure, and that I shall never ask whether there can be a swift which is slow, or a heavy which is light, or any other self-contradictory thing, which works, not according to its own nature, but according to that of its opposite. But I will not insist upon this, for I do not wish needlessly to discourage you. And so you are satisfied that false opinion is heterodoxy, or the thought of something else?
I am.
It is possible then upon your view for the mind to conceive of one thing as another.
True.
But must not the mind, or thinking power, which misplaces them, have a conception either of both objects, or of one of them?
Certainly.
Either together or in succession.
Very good.
And do you mean by conceiving the same which I mean?
What is that?
I mean the conversation which the soul holds with herself in considering of anything. I speak of what I scarcely understand, but the soul when thinking appears to me to be just talking, asking questions of herself, and answering them, affirming and denying, and when she has arrived at a decision, either gradually or by a sudden impulse, and has at last agreed, and does not doubt, this is called her opinion. I say, then, that to form an opinion is to speak, and opinion is a word spoken. I mean, to oneself and in silence, not aloud or to another. What think you?
I agree.
Then when anyone thinks of one thing as another, he is saying to himself that one thing is another.
Yes.
But do you ever remember saying to yourself that the noble is certainly base, or the unjust just, or, best of all, Have you ever attempted to convince yourself that one thing is another? Nay, not even in sleep. Did you ever venture to say to yourself that odd is even, or anything of the kind?
Never.
And do you suppose that any other man, either in his senses, or out of them, ever seriously tried to persuade himself that an ox is a horse, or that two are one?
Certainly not.
But if thinking is talking to oneself, no one speaking and thinking of two objects, and apprehending them both in his soul, will say and think that the one is the other of them. And I must add, that even you, lover of dispute as you are, had better let the word other alone, i.e., not insist that one and other are the same. I mean to say, that no one thinks the noble to be base, or anything of the kind.
I will give up the word other, Socrates, and I agree to what you say.
If a man has both of them in his thoughts, he cannot think that the one of them is the other.
True.
Neither, if he has one of them only in his mind, and not the other, can he think that one is the other.
True, for we should have to suppose that he apprehends that which is not in his thoughts at all.
Then no one who has either both, or only one of the two objects in his mind, can think that the one is the other, and therefore, he who maintains that false opinion is heterodoxy is talking nonsense, for neither in this, any more than in the previous way, can false opinion exist in us.
No.
But if, Theaetetus, this is not admitted, we shall be driven into many absurdities.
What are they?
I will not tell you until I have endeavored to consider the matter from every point of view, for I should be ashamed of us, if we were driven in our perplexity, to admit the absurd consequences of which I speak. But if we find the solution, and get away from them, we may regard them only as the difficulties of others, and the ridicule will not attach to us. On the other hand, if we utterly fail, I suppose that we must be humble, and allow the argument to trample us underfoot, as the seasick passenger is trampled upon by the sailor, and to do anything to us. Listen, then, while I tell you how I hope to find a way out of our difficulty.
Let me hear.
I think that we were wrong in denying that a man could think what he knew to be what he did not know, and that there is a way in which such a deception is possible.
You mean to say, as I suspected at the time, that I may know Socrates, and at a distance see someone who is unknown to me, and whom I mistake for him, then the deception will occur.
But has not that position been relinquished by us, because involving the absurdity that we should know, and not know the things which we know?
True.
Let us make the assertion in another form, which may or may not have a favorable issue, but as we are in a great strait, every argument should be turned over and tested. Tell me, then, whether I'm right in saying that you may learn a thing which at one time you did not know?
Certainly you may.
And another and another?
Yes.
I would have you imagine, then, that there exists in the mind of man a block of wax, which is of different sizes in different men, harder, moister, and having more or less of purity in one than another, and in some of an intermediate quality.
I see.
Let us say that this tablet is a gift of memory, the mother of the muses, and that when we wish to remember anything which we have seen, or heard, or thought in our own minds, we hold the wax to the perceptions and thoughts, and in that material receive the impression of thoughts from the seal of a ring, and that we remember and know what is imprinted, as long as the image lasts, but when the image is effaced, or cannot be taken, then we forget, and do not know.
Very good.
Now, when a person has this knowledge, and is considering something which he sees or hears, may not false opinion arise in the following manner?
In what manner?
When he thinks what he knows, sometimes to be what he knows, and sometimes to be what he does not know, we were wrong before in denying the possibility of this.
And how would you amend the former statement?
I should begin by making a list of the impossible cases which must be excluded. 1. No one can think one thing to be another when he does not perceive either of them, but has the memorial or seal of both of them in his mind. Nor can any mistaking of one thing for another occur, when he only knows one, and does not know, and has no impression of the other. Nor can he think that one thing which he does not know, is another thing which he does not know, or that what he does not know, is what he knows. Nor, 2, that one thing which he perceives, is another thing which he perceives, or that something which he perceives, is something which he does not perceive, or that something which he does not perceive, is something else which he does not perceive, or that something which he does not perceive, is something which he perceives. Nor again, 3, can he think that something which he knows and perceives, and of which he has the impression coinciding with sense, is something else which he knows and perceives, and of which he has the impression coinciding with sense. This last case, if possible, is still more inconceivable than the others. Nor, for, can he think that something which he knows and perceives, and of which he has the memorial coinciding with sense, is something else which he knows. Nor, so long as these agree, can he think that a thing which he knows and perceives is another thing which he perceives, or that a thing which he does not know and does not perceive is the same as another thing which he does not know and does not perceive. Nor again, can he suppose that a thing which he does not know and does not perceive is the same as another thing which he does not know, or that a thing which he does not know and does not perceive is another thing which he does not perceive. All these utterly and absolutely exclude the possibility of false opinion. The only cases, if any, which remain are the following.
What are they? If you tell me, I may perhaps understand you better, but at present I am unable to follow you.
A person may think that some things which he knows, or which he perceives, and does not know, are some other things which he knows and perceives, or that some things which he knows and perceives, are other things which he knows and perceives.
I understand you less than ever now.
Hear me once more. Then, I, knowing Theodorus, and remembering in my own mind what sort of person he is, and also what sort of person Theaetetus is, at one time see them, and at another time do not see them, and sometimes I touch them, and at another time not, or at one time I may hear them, or perceive them in some other way, and at another time not perceive them, but still I remember them, and know them in my own mind.
Very true.
Then, first of all, I want you to understand that a man may or may not perceive sensibly that which he knows.
True.
And that which he does not know will sometimes not be perceived by him, and sometimes will be perceived and only perceived.
That is also true.
See whether you can follow me better now. Socrates can recognize Theodorus and Theaetetus, but he sees neither of them, nor does he perceive them in any other way. He cannot then by any possibility imagine in his own mind that Theaetetus is Theodorus. Am I not right?
You are quite right.
Then that was the first case of which I spoke.
Yes.
The second case was that I, knowing one of you, and not knowing the other, and perceiving neither, can never think him whom I know to be him whom I do not know.
True.
In the third case, not knowing and not perceiving either of you, I cannot think that one of you whom I do not know is the other whom I do not know. I need not again go over the catalogue of excluded cases, in which I cannot form a false opinion about you and Theodorus, either when I know both, or when I am in ignorance of both, or when I know one, and not the other, and the same of perceiving. You understand me?
I do.
The only possibility of erroneous opinion is, when knowing you and Theodorus, and having on the waxen block the impression of both of you given, as by a seal, but seeing you imperfectly, and at a distance, I try to assign the right impression of memory to the right visual impression, and to fit this into its own print. If I succeed, recognition will take place, but if I fail and transpose them, putting the foot into the wrong shoe, that is to say, putting the vision of either of you onto the wrong impression, or if my mind, like the sight in a mirror, which is transferred from right to left, by reason of some similar affection, then heterodoxy and false opinion ensues.
Yes, Socrates, you have described the nature of opinion with wonderful exactness.
Or again, when I know both of you, and perceive as well as know one of you, but not the other, and my knowledge of him does not accord with perception, that was the case put by me just now which you did not understand.
No, I did not.
I meant to say that when a person knows and perceives one of you, and his knowledge coincides with his perception, he will never think him to be some other person whom he knows and perceives, and the knowledge of whom coincides with his perception, for that also was a case supposed.
True.
But there was an omission of the further case, in which, as we now say, false opinion may arise, when knowing both, and seeing, or having some other sensible perception of both, I fail in holding the seal over against the corresponding sensation. Like a bad archer, I must and fall wide of the mark, and this is called falsehood.
Yes, it is rightly so called.
When, therefore, perception is present to one of the seals or impressions, but not to the other, and the mind fits the seal of the absent perception on the one which is present, in any case of this sort the mind is deceived. In a word, if our view is sound, there can be no error or deception about things which a man does not know, and has never perceived, but only in things which are known and perceived. In these alone opinion turns and twists about, and becomes alternately true and false, true when the seals and impressions of sense meet straightened opposite, false when they go awry and are crooked.
And is not that, Socrates, nobly said?
Nobly, yes, but wait a little, and hear the explanation, and then you will say so with more reason, for to think truly is noble, and to be deceived is base.
Undoubtedly.
And the origin of truth and error is as follows: when the wax in the soul of any one is deep and abundant, and smooth and perfectly tempered, then the impressions which pass through the senses and sink into the heart of the soul, as Homer says in a parable, meaning to indicate the likeness of the soul to wax, these, I say, being pure and clear, and having a sufficient depth of wax, are also lasting, and minds, such as these, easily learn and easily retain, and are not liable to confusion, but have true thoughts, for they have plenty of room, and having clear impressions of things, as we term them, quickly distribute them into their proper places on the block, and such men are called wise. You agree?
Entirely.
But when the heart of anyone is shaggy, a quality which the all-wise poet commends, or muddy and of impure wax, or very soft, or very hard, then there is a corresponding defect in the mind. The soft are good at learning, but apt to forget, and the hard are the reverse, the shaggy and rugged and gritty, or those who have an admixture of earth or dung in their composition, have the impressions indistinct, as also the hard, for there is no depth in them, and the soft too are indistinct, for their impressions are easily confused and effaced. Yet greater is the indistinctness, when they are all jostled together in a little soul, which has no room. These are the natures which have false opinion, for when they see or hear or think of anything, they are slow in assigning the right objects to the right impressions. In their stupidity they confuse them, and are apt to see and hear and think amiss, and such men are said to be deceived in their knowledge of objects, and ignorant.